This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. I forgot that I didn't introduce us.
That's all good, man.
I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
I forgot that part.
That's all good, man. It happens. And you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
We might have some first-time listeners today.
Yeah, that's true.
Make sure
y'all need
you get to know who we
are.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm Josh. This right here is
Randall.
Randall.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Not fun.
You know, Jesus gave a very similar analogy in John 16. He says, like, when a woman's giving birth, she's got sorrow because her hour is there. But then once she's delivered the baby, she doesn't remember the sorrow anymore. And I think
that is very true.
Yeah, that's true.
That is very true.
100%. And this passage in Romans, it doesn't ignore human suffering, right? Like, it doesn't dismiss it. Pain is very real, and humans experience suffering in this life. If you're a Christian, or if you're not a Christian, you're going to experience suffering in your life. But the point is that what gets you through that pain is knowing the joy that awaits you on the other side. So also with the Christian life.
Yeah. Everything in the Christian life has a purpose. There's no pain that's wasted. There is pain. There is suffering that you're going to encounter in this world, because this world is fallen and broken and filled with sin. And
that's right.
We are sinful people. So there is pain that you're going to endure. But the beauty of the Christian life is that every moment of pain has a purpose. There is nothing that's wasted. There's nothing that's just meaningless. God has a plan in everything. Now, you don't always get to know the plan. You don't always get to know the why
that's
behind
right.
everything.
That's right.
But you start asking different questions. So instead of, God, why is this happening? You start asking, God, what can I learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
God, what are you trying to teach me? What can I learn about your character and who I am in you in this moment of suffering?
Speaking of things that bring me a great deal of pain and stress, I do want to just say to all of our listeners out there, welcome to the Gripevine.
Boink.
I've been wanting to speak about this.
That nibble
for
gets me
years
every time.
And years. The gripes taste so succulent and fresh. You just gotta. It's like my kids eat. They just gotta make noise.
You gotta
when they
hum through it.
Why is it when people go to shake your hands, like, every few handshakes you get is normal, but then, like, sometimes you'll stick your hand out and they'll give you the opposite hand and do this right here.
I hate that.
Or if you go to and you're expecting a firm handshake and it's like a dead fish, it's like, here, I hate that. What is that?
Here's what I don't like. Go to shake my hand.
Uh-huh. No. Yeah, you just grab my...
Like, if I was going for the dap, that's one thing. But if I'm going... If I'm obviously... If hand is tilted down like this, I'm obviously going handshake.
So one of the ones that I hate is that if you're not watching the video podcast, just that, they grab your fingers.
Don't grab too soon.
You know what I started doing? For real. I started curtsying on people when they grab my fingers. I started curtsying on them. I had a guy in the church. He would grab my fingers and not shake my hand.
Yeah.
So one time, just as a joke, I curtsied and he was like, what was that?
What was that?
I was like, I thought that's what you wanted. He thought it was so funny that we still do it 6 to 7 years later. We still do.
That's too funny. I've started doing this thing with the middle school boys on Sunday mornings in Sunday school is I'll go to shake their hand. Uh-huh. Just, you know, like working on, you know, like, being a man, like teaching, manhood. But I go to shake their hand and I say wrong answers only.
So they got to give you a weird handshake.
Like other hand, or they'll stick out a finger, or they'll kind of just like flap an arm in there, or like, yeah, like this right here, or like stick an elbow out.
Yeah.
They love it. They think it's hilarious. Yeah,
that's fun. But there's some people who just, I guess, didn't get taught how to, maybe this is pedantic, maybe this is shallow, but there's some people who just either didn't get taught how to shake a guy's hand or a person's hand, or just, they just have really weird handshakes.
What I also hate, and we need to go ahead and move on, but what I also hate is the guys who are trying to prove something in a handshake.
Oh, yeah.
And they fracture your fingers. I'm like, dude, calm down. Like, nobody is trying to challenge you. Relax. Like,
what do you think I was trying to fight? Like, why are you crushing my hand?
We know. I mean, there's a difference between a firm handshake and someone who, like, is in the gym constantly, super jacked, super buff. Shake your handshake. It's going to be a strong, firm handshake.
Right.
Versus someone who squeezes your handshake so that your knuckles are rearranged. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. Obviously, you're trying to prove something.
Like you're the president of a small company that makes, like, glass or something. I don't know. You have no business. You're not a gym rat. You know what I'm saying?
You, right.
It's
from people you don't expect, exactly. Which I think makes it even funnier.
Exactly. It's always a guy in a suit. Always a guy in a suit wants to crush your hand.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's ask Dr. Shaw, because I know being a pastor,
he's got a lot of handshakes. He's probably had the gamut of good and bad handshakes.
How many handshakes do you think the average pastor gets in a year?
Oh, thousands.
Let's ask.
Thousands.
Let's ask.
Write in and let us know your handshake icks. What is your handshake?
That gives me the ick.
252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, we griped earlier about people. Well, first and foremost, I want to say it's a great day, man. I think it's so good to see.
It was so
why that noise?
Because it was like really. we griped earlier about people who, if you couldn't see on the radio, we gave a really limp handshake. It was like, oh, I didn't like that at all. We griped about people who you go to shake their hand and it's either way too loose, way too tight, or they just give you the complete opposite hand.
Yeah, the way too loose doesn't bother me like it used to at one time. Way too tight is sometimes like, okay.
Like, what are you trying to prove? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. What are you trying to prove? We talked about that too. What are you trying to tell us? We got it. Okay. Calm down, dominant. Chief.
Yeah. I get it, bud.
The other one is, by the way, do you know, and this goes for all the people out there who are, you know, trying to stay safe in the midst of sicknesses.
In this troubling time.
And microbes and COVID and everything. What is the safest part on the human body? It's external, by the way. It's external.
Let's see.
Your eyes?
No, definitely not. Not
your eyes. Is it your face?
We're talking about handshakes. Is it on your hand?
It's on the hand.
On the hand.
On the hand.
Let me think. Oh, the okay. Palm?
No, palm is not. Palm is not. Palm is definitely not.
Because they don't want to give you the palm.
Yeah, that's why people don't want to shake hands because, you know, you shake hands, you spread the germs.
What is the safest part of the hand?
The safest part of the hand. Are y'all ready for this? Can we have drum roll?
Yeah, I got you right
drum
here, my
roll.
Friend.
Drum roll, please. Right,
here it is. Tell me the safest part of the hand.
The knuckles.
You go to shake someone's hand, they're like,
yeah, they give you the knuckles.
They're like, oh.
So here's my question. Why knuckles? Do you not think for a moment that those germs don't move from the knuckles to the palm? How Bingo. Far away are they?
And also, like, you touch your face with your knuckles all the time. It's not right. like you don't.
Yeah.
I do this way more than I do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a guy, actually. Like, personally, I know him well, who uses his knuckles to wipe his nose like this.
Yeah.
So even then, I mean, you're not safe for fist bumps.
No.
David.
Well, no.
I'm not even going, you know what, I'm not going to make this about you, but I've seen you do that.
Yeah, I got it from him.
Oh, wow.
Well.
Were you the guy you were talking about?
No. But I got it from him.
I know well.
Tell
I
me
see
later.
Him every morning when I wake up in the mirror.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's my cousin.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you know him.
Oh. Yeah. No.
He just threw your cousin under the bus.
100%.
Sorry,
what about, have you ever had, like, you go to shake someone's hand and they do this?
The elbow. I mean.
Like, we're going to do the chicken dance or something? Amen. Yeah. Great sermon. Great sermon today.
At that point, I'm just like, hey, I'm good. But anyways.
I'd rather not touch.
Yeah, why don't we just not touch?
If you want to do the chicken dance.
Just wave at me.
I don't want your chicken wing, man.
Yeah,
let's just.
I mean, what? I mean, you're like maybe 2 feet away from my face.
Yeah.
So you're breathing the same air that I'm breathing.
Make it make sense.
Am we going to do the elbow touch?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's really
funny. I understand you're here. Thank you for coming to church. But if you're thinking that somehow we're going to be safe if we do the elbow touch, I don't know.
You're not. Yeah. You're not. The elbow's weird. That's the weirdest one, I think.
It's like you go to shake someone's hand.
Oh.
Let me shake your hand.
Okay.
No. Give me the elbow.
Oh, okay. I got one more because we need to go into today's discussion. But when I was a kid, this doesn't have anything to do with germs, but when I was a kid, I can't believe I didn't tell this in the intro. We had a neighbor named Doc and he had his hand blown off in Vietnam.
Ooh.
It was just a nub, and he would bring watermelons to my dad every summer. And like every Friday he would bring a watermelon over and he would be like, put her there, boy. And my dad would make me shake the nub. And I'd be like, I was like Gavin's age. I was like, can I just have the other one? They were like, no, you better shake Doc's nub. He was like, you better shake my nub or it's going to hurt my feelings. And I would cry.
Oh,
and
no.
I
would
cry. And I'd be like, God. And I would shake his nub. Yeah. I never forgot that.
Well, I'm sure they had a lot of laughs watching him cringe.
They loved it. Oh, yeah. He was in a wheelchair and he had no hand at all.
Was he in the army?
I think so. He was in the army or the Marine. He was definitely in the army. Opened up something and it blew his hand off. I can't remember the story.
That's the thing. You know, we appreciate those who serve and have those kind of things happen. Thank you for your sacrifice.
That's right.
And because of you, we can use our hands
That's right.
Because you paid the price. You know, somebody pays the price.
100%. Right. This day, I would gladly shake your hand.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, I needed some convincing, but I definitely would do it today.
Yeah. Yeah. You went, you were pretty harsh on people with who didn't handshake correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big deal. Because as a pastor, I mean, you shake hands. We were talking about this.
Yeah, we asked that.
You shake hands quite a bit over the course of the weekend, even throughout the week. I mean, handshakes are a regular part of your life.
How many handshakes do you think you do per month?
Oh, man. I probably in the thousands.
That's what I was going to say. Thousands,
yeah, probably.
Maybe 10,000.
And it's not even like I require people, if you love me, you're going to shake my hand.
Right.
Remember that video?
Yeah.
If you love me,
if you submit it to me, you know what my heart is.
Build your own kingdom
in the video room. Shout out to Jim Stanridge.
Your test is not that you shake my hand.
Yeah.
It's just a spirit behind it.
That's right.
There are people who are going through cancer treatments and things like that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's in the air, but they're trying to be careful. And I'm like, totally understand.
That's right.
You don't have to shake hands because, you know, I'm shaking everybody's hands. It's going to pass on to you. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I think when we think this is scientific, that's we need to leave that behind.
100%.
Let's not go third world at this point.
And I would say that's a group that deserves to be, you know, treated a little harshly. You got to grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, or what I think you were going with it is there's a group that I feel like you were pretty kind of lenient with, and we had a lot of people write in that they didn't expect that.
Based on Monday's conversation, you know, where we talked about the gifts of prophecy, about speaking in tongues, you know, it's not something that's a part of our regular church culture here. So I think people were maybe expecting you to be a little bit more harsh or hard hitting, and you were very gracious.
Without
compromising exegesis, without compromising God's word, you were very, very kind, very gracious when people may have been expecting a little bit more harsh.
Right. Yeah, because someone texted in, and I like the way they put it. They didn't give a name, but they said there's a good difference between we don't do that here and hey, we don't do that here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like it's like, hey, this is not part of our culture versus that's not tolerated here.
Right. It's definitely, I'm never going to do that. So biblically, it's not accurate the way people have interpreted tongues to be. I don't think it is helpful to our witness because, for one, it's not lining up with scripture, but also it is sending a message that doesn't need to be sent. It doesn't have a message in that, and to be honest. But at the same time, like some people have said, oh, speaking in tongues, now that's satanic. That's devilish. And that's where I draw the line. I say, no, that's not correct. You cannot say that.
Right.
Because the Bible often, you know, reminds us, not often, I mean, but it does remind us that no one can affirm that Jesus is the Lord without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So if those same people are claiming that Jesus is Lord, and not just the satanic way, you know, even Satan knows that Jesus is Lord, but he's not submitted to him. These folks are submitted to Jesus Christ, but they are doing something that is not biblical, and we have to call that out based on biblical exegesis. So the one reason why I don't come down hard, of course, there's a reason where I went to a Pentecostal church, so I know that culture, and I've been around the people, so it's not like those people. I was there, never spoke in tongues, didn't grow up that way, so it didn't take long for me to go, wow, I think there is some misguiding going on here. People are misled, misguided here.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's another reason why I am not harsh. And at the same time, I take the stance I take against this phenomenon of tongues that has been around for some time is because many of the people who are in that circle or come from that denomination or are in those churches are very feelings based.
True.
Feelings and emotions are dominating over reason and scripture. Feelings and emotions. So here is where we have to then say, what do you mean? What do I mean is this, because of feelings and emotions, they allow themselves to be led by their feelings. So wherever feelings are going, they're going to go with it. Just let it go. Just let it go. God's taking you somewhere. He's about to teach you things. He's about to do some things. You need to just let God lead you, brother. Let him lead you. Let him just open yourself up. That's bad. That's wrong. That's evil. That should not be dealt with because that can really lead you to some really bad place.
Right.
But how about these people who are speaking in tongues and doing things that are so outlandish? Because of giving into emotions, they're doing that. Is anything positive?
Yeah.
Because many of our songs are coming from people
That's true.
Who are open to the emotions.
That's 100%
true. Who allow feelings to be part of their Christian life. In fact, they let feelings dominate their Christian life. Does it bring anything good? Yes. A lot of our songs are coming from that segment of our Christianity, Christian family.
Almost every
Christian family. They may not call me family, but I call them family. Now, keep in mind, feelings are important. Feelings are part of the Christian life. I think many of us err on the side of reason and thought. And in a sense, it is safe, but it can also lead to stagnation. It is safe, but it can lead to stagnation. Now, I know some of my friends on this side who are very much reason-based, scripture, this is it. They will say, well, let me tell you something, but that's where we need to be. Okay. What do you like to sing? Oh, let me tell you something. All this new contemporary mumbo jump, I don't care one. I like those hymns, brother. I like those hymns. Show me a good hymn like Amazing Grace. The Charles Wesley, when some of the hymns, man, that was an Oxford trained guy singing those hymns. Yeah, part of the Methodist movement.
Mm. Yeah.
Methodist movement was known for its emotionalism.
Yep. That's true.
Well,
isn't that weird?
What do you do with that now?
Yeah, that is kind of odd because I wouldn't suspect that from today.
Yeah, they were known for emotions, and guess what? The stalwarts of keep emotions out. Many of them sort of died out. It's that early Methodism that brought revival as people began to sing and they began to feel religion. Mm-hmm. You know, even the whole Quaker stuff and everything. I mean, they were talking about the inner light. Mm-hmm. What is the inner light? It's more than just affirmation or confession. This was inner light. It means I have something burning inside. There's some fire in me. It's all based on emotion. So the very hymns that you're claiming, you would not have claimed them back then.
Right. Well, that's true.
My question then is, what do you do with David? What do you do with the Psalms?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he's an exception to the rule, certainly, because he wrote scripture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, you don't have to read very many of the Psalms to know that they're very heavy with emotion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're, I mean, good, bad, and ugly, and everything in between. Yeah. So if emotions are like, if they have no place in the Christian life, then what do you do with the book of Psalms?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of times we're... People who are claiming it's like this emotional garbage. Well, guess what? Those hymns that you like,
right?
They came out of the same emotional garbage.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
And you love them. And I love them too.
Yeah.
But they were written because people like Wesley and both John and Charles, they both were tired of this stuffy, studgy Christianity that was lifeless.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
And so bringing the emotions help. And then, of course, then the excesses came, right? The turn of the 19th century, 20th century, really, when Pentecostalism as a denomination was born, so to speak. And then, you know, we got the excesses now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, and then charismatic movement came as well. And then Neo-Pentecostalism came and the third wave came. And this is just off the deep end, but to say that emotions are wrong but I like those old hymns. The old hymns you're claiming to like came out of emotions.
Do you think they're just ashamed of having emotions? Do you think they're
afraid?
They're scared of them. Do you think they think they'll lead to stuff like speaking in tongues and stuff like that?
So you remember we talked about how people came to America from England. England is the source of where everybody came, right?
Right.
Of course, there were some from Dutch and Austria and Poland and other places, Italy later on and all that. But the first few immigrants who came to America, the settlers, they came from England. Mm-hmm. Either they came from the south and west of London, or they came from the east and north of London, or they came from the Midlands, or they came from the border of the Southern Highlands, okay, in England, Scottish people. So when you think about that, Quakers are coming from the Midlands. Midlands, okay, these are low-income people. Mm-hmm. They didn't have much, not many prospects. Nothing like the south or west of London kind of people who were royalists, who had money, who were, you know, had land and all that. Or the Puritans from the north and east. They had values. They had, you know, they wanted to raise their family in the right way. They thought they were the people of God. They were the new Israel, all that stuff. The Midlands people were like, the emotions are moving me.
Really?
They're moving me. I'm going to sit here until they move me. Oh, it's starting. So,
here come now.
So that's where many of the Quakers came. The Puritans did not like the Quakers one bit.
Mm. Not friends.
No. The Loyalists or, you know, the people to the south and west of London did not like the Quakers.
Wow.
The Puritans did not like the Loyalists, and the Loyalists did not like the Puritans, but together they hated the Quakers.
I don't like you. You don't like me. But we really hate that guy.
Bro, like that guy.
That's just how it was.
Honestly, forget that guy in particular.
So New England people and Virginia people didn't get along, but they had one thing in common. They both distrusted and disliked the Delaware Valley people.
And for right now, that'll be enough.
That's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah. So this is sort of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend type situation.
Yeah. Wow.
Because of feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know what these people will do next.
Yeah. They're unpredictable. They're
unpredictable, and they're led by their feelings, and they go with whatever.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I can see why people can get so, because I remember being like seeing this kind of thing happening on like video. I've never seen it in person until one person came here. Maybe we can talk about that on another episode, but you know, not seeing it here, and when you don't grow up seeing it, it can be jarring.
Yeah.
It can be really jarring. It can be off-putting.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of where people who come here and are not used to it, I think they were surprised because they were like, yeah, he's kind of with us. You know, we don't like that. And it's like, well.
Yeah, I am with them, but I don't see the people who are in the Pentecostal movement as like they are the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
No. Right. I see them as misguided.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I also see them. I don't see them as, man, they're not Christians.
Mm.
To the contrary, I believe they're our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Which is interesting because
given us the gift of music and things like that.
Right. Which is interesting because I don't know that they would say the same about you.
Right.
Right.
If you told them that you don't speak in tongues.
Right.
I don't know if every, and again, I'm not Pentecostal. I don't know many Pentecostals. I don't know if every single one of them says you have to speak in tongues to be saved, but some of them.
Some do.
Some do. They make that. Now, I have some brothers who are Pentecostal pastors and we have a great relationship and they know where I stand, but we are united on what matters and I respect them tremendously. They are men of God. They're trying to preach the word. They're trying to love the people. They're trying to live as the Holy Spirit leads them. They love this country. They're standing for truth and righteousness. How in the world can I look at them and say, well, those heretics?
Right.
No. I want you to think for a moment. I know there are a lot of ignorant people out there doing ignorant things, and it's heartbreaking for me to watch that in our country. But think about the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
I have outlined for you those four people groups, right? Based on David Hackett Fisher's work. So you have the Puritans in New England.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Loyalist type people in the Virginia colony. You have the Midland people in Delaware who are the Quaker type people, right? They are pacifist. They will not fight wars. They are open to everybody. In fact, William Penn wanted everybody in his colony. He's like, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And the Puritans were like, we don't like this. You're bringing everybody in here. The Virginia people were like, we don't care as long as, you know, you make us some money.
Right.
You know, we were okay with that, but be careful who all you bring here. The Quakers, the Midland people who are in the Delaware Valley, New Jersey, Pennsylvania type people, they're like, no, we're good with everybody. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't fight with us, you know, that's who we are. Then you have the Appalachian Trail type people who are coming from that border communities in England, Scotland, England, and their fighting community. They are not very stable. They're moving everywhere. Poverty is there. Weather is there. They're also there. They're sitting in the Appalachian Mountains, Shenandoah Valley, all the way down into Georgia. Now, think about the Revolutionary War. All four groups have to come together and fight against the mother country.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a great point.
These are four groups that do not get along.
Mm.
They're different.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to come together to fight against a common enemy. Tell me if that's not the providence of God.
It is. 100%.
Also, tell me how these people did not set aside their differences to band together. We don't think that. We just think, oh, yeah, so, and then there was a Continental Convention, and then there was George Washington, and then he was leading. Like, wait, stop. Think who these people are.
Yeah.
It's only been 100 years since all this. I mean, and by the way, some of that migration was still happening right before the Revolutionary War.
Yeah,
true. Like the Scottish Highland people were one of the last ones to show up.
Yeah, they weren't there from the very beginning.
They were not there from the very, very beginning.
Right.
Their migration took place at the turn of the 18th century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So think about that. Puritans, you like freedom because you don't want anybody to tell you how to raise your family. Virginia people, you like freedom because you don't want to pay any more money back somewhere in England where somebody else is sitting there making those rules.
Mm-hmm.
The Delaware people, you like your freedom to do your Quaker stuff and whatever else you want. You don't want this Anglican church telling you how to live.
Right.
Scottish Highland people, you will kill anybody who tells you anything. Can we not get along? Can we not come together and send these redcoats back home?
There you go.
Yeah.
To me, that's like crazy.
Yeah.
Once you understand the dynamics, then that's when you go, and who's going to be the one who will be the general in all of this? We're going to pick a Virginia guy. How did all these people come together with their different personalities, backgrounds, and yet they came together and still claimed they were Christians? Mm-hmm. They were not saying we're going to be another country. We're going to be still be based on Judeo-Christian values, but different personalities, God used them to build a country. And today we're trying to tear it down.
Yeah.
It's like, y'all are nuts.
Amen.
Crazy.
Amen. Yeah. Love it.
So good. If you guys enjoyed today's conversation, it was helpful for you, write in and let us know 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Tomorrow we got Lightning Round Fridays. There it is. I was like, why is it not coming out? We got lightning round questions going tomorrow. All your questions that you've been sending us. Make sure you keep sending them because we've been talking about some great stuff this week.
That's right. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.
Keep going.
So long.